on their Facebook page on November 1st. And if you just go to Big Pond Rumors Press and look for November 1st, or you might even find a later one that will have this information or more, or you can contact Sharon Berg at Sharon Berg, and that's B-E-R-G, so sharonberg.author@gmail.com. Again, a deadline December 31st, 10:59 p.m. Eastern Time. ARC Poetry, they're open to just let you know that their open period does expire on December 31st. So if it says they are accepting submissions, ARC is, that's A-R-C, is accepting poetry submissions. For their fall submissions period, their open periods are spring, April 1st to July 31st, and now fall, September 1st to December 31st. So if you miss out on this, you won't get a chance again until after April 1st. Check out their website, ARC, and again, that's A-R-C, arcpoetry.ca, and then if you slash resources and then slash general submissions. One final one that expires on the 31st is called Two, Sylvia's Press, a 2025 Wilder Series Poetry Book Prize. It is a poetry contest and is for women over 50. Prize is $1,000 and publication. It says print book and 20 author copies. They're looking for book length submissions, which they say are 48 to 80 pages, with a single poem to a page. Check out their website, and it two is spelled out, the number two spelled out, T-W-O, so it's www.twosylviaspress.com/Wilder Series Poetry Book Prize. Again, December 31st is their deadline. And now it's about 2 minutes after 5 o'clock, so we're into it already. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and this is, and again, if I didn't say it, this is Finding a Voice, spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And for those of you who have been listening, thanks for hanging in there. For those of you who have just tuned in, thanks so much for that. And to you, welcome back to the, or to all of you, welcome back to the second hour. And leading into it is both hours feature a single event. In the first hour, from an October 24th event in the Driftline Press series, created by Wanda Pramsma and Vince Perez, you heard the launch of Chris Turnbull's chapbook called Parts Path with Everlovin' Press, so through them. And in an event at the Baby Grand Theater, you also heard guest readings by poets Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker. Now, coming up in the second hour, in the second portion of that Driftline event, you're going to hear a performance of a play poem called A Mother is a Portal. That was written by, is written by Liz Huntley Chinch, and performed by, on stage by a number of actors there that evening. Just my usual heads up, announcement is that, or mention I should just say, is that some poetry, prose, or music played on this show may contain strong language. I do try to include as much as possible to maintain the integrity of both the author or poet or playwright or performer in the in and the piece. So let me just go ahead, and I think we should just go move straight into this. The other thing I'm going to play this hour, too, just to give you a heads up, is I am going to also air play a couple of songs, and actually both off the same CD. I'll announce it when we get to it. What I might do is, this is the last chance I have to plug our annual funding drive, so I think I'm going to do that very briefly now and just let you know that we're in the very final days. This began November 1st and does end at the end of the month. And just a brief mention about it is, with just a few days left, we're still on our way to raise the $25,000 goal that we had set. I want to thank all of you who have already donated to this, and I know a number of you have and have told me so. So my heartfelt thanks to all of you that have. It's hard to believe that we're in that final few days of that drive. It's harder still, honestly, to believe that I've been a volunteer here at CFRC for, I believe, over 17 years, and have produced and hosted Finding a Voice here for nearly 16 of those, and I've loved and continue to love doing it, and it feels like home here and it feels like family. So it's been a wonderful journey for me to be able to share other poets and authors' work each and every week on this show, and I couldn't have done it without the studios and the training and the guidance that I'd received at CFRC. They made a difference for me. They are making a difference for dozens, if not hundreds, of volunteers every year to pursue their own lives and their own loves, I should say, and interests here. They make a difference in this community as well for what they both offer inside and outside the station. I want to make sure that those interested in being part of CFRC next year or even years to come have that chance as well. So I'm reaching out today. If you've already donated, my heartfelt thanks to you for that. If you haven't and you are able to, any little bit helps. Just go to our website, www.cfrc.ca. Click on the donate button at the top, and that'll take you down and open up a page that you can get all of the information that you need there. So, again, thank you so much for those who have. And let's go ahead now and move into the second half of the show today with a performance. Just to bring it up again, in case you happen to tune in a couple of minutes late, where I announced it at the top of the hour. This is following the first portion of the October 24th reading in the Driftline. I believe it's still called Reading and the Press series, created by, again, Wanda Premsma and Vince Perez with Everlovin' Press. In the first hour, you heard Chris Turnbull's chapbook called Parts Path, with readings by Y.S. Lee and Jennifer Baker. And now coming up in this second hour, in the second portion of that event, you're going to hear a performance of a play poem called A Mother is a Portal that is written by Liz Huntley Gents, who also reads in this as well, and performed on stage by a number of actors. And tell you what, let's go ahead and just jump right into it.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the second half of this evening's event. We're so pleased to be having a play poem written by Liz Huntley Yench being performed tonight. Liz lives in rural Ontario on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee, where she farms, writes, and runs the Artisan Bakery Grains and Goods with her husband and three girls, boys. Her poems are published in Room, Grain, Riddle Fence, Arc, and elsewhere. She is the 2025 Stephen Hyten Fellow at the Alberti A-Frame and Queen's University. So thank you so much, Liz, for being part of tonight, the launch. this clay poem. So Liz has six actors who are going to vocalize this poem. We have Emma Grace Berry, Mesa Ali Khan, Brea Pickard, Susan Wismer, Sid Chinnick, and Rosemary Uringer. Welcome. Thank you.
A Greek tragedy comedy, also known as a satire play, in one act. Characters. Haggard mother one, of indefinable age, perhaps young, but with a tired look of someone who is gravely ill. Speech in the style of, and using lines from, Questions and Answers, Oswinoki Tshapala, South Africa, 315 AD. Haggard mother two, of similar appearance to haggard mother one, wearing sweatpants and Crocs, hair unwashed. In the style of, and using lines from some information about the Spartans, Mestrius Plutarch, Greece, 46 AD. A group of satyr-like females makes up our chorus. Naked, hairy, fleshy, with opulent breasts and pronounced labia. In the style of, and using lines from, I have looked diligently at my own mind, Heraclitus of Ephesus, Greece, 500 BC. We begin our scene. The town plaza at midday. Haggard Mother One stands on a soapbox on the south side of the open square. Haggard Mother Two on a soapbox to the north. The chorus sways on the grand steps of the stock exchange. Harsh sun beats down on the woman. The empty square is scattered with trash from the morning market. A few scraggly pigeons peck and squawk over a trodden fig. Off to the side, under a shade of spiraling olive trees, a handful of old men puzzle lazily over chessboards. The rest of the town appears to be slumbering in the afternoon siesta. No one pays the women any mind. They speak over and between each other, the mothers preaching from their soapboxes, the chorus gesticulating and gyrating as they chant, each intent on proclaiming their message to an audience of none.
Question: what is a mother? Answer: the mother is a door. Question: and the hinge pin on the door? Answer: the hinge pin is the mother's teeth. Question: and the ceiling of the hut and the floor beneath it? Answer: the mother's hunger. Question: and if the door is closed, what is that? Answer: the mother gnashing.
Sources say that one day at the playground, a mother was showing off images of a rug that she had hand-woven for her child's bedroom. A second mother fed her child homemade goldfish crackers. A third mother called her toddling sons over and made them both recite the 10,000 words that they knew. The first mother claimed that her child had a smaller, more modest vocabulary, only because she was teaching him four languages at once. The second mother interjected that her children would exclusively be exposed to child-led, play-based learning and would not be forced to conform to the requirements of the lowly public school system. The third mother exclaimed that in addition to kindergarten, her Johnny was enrolled in summer enrichment programs. Haven't you heard of summer brain drain? The children, meanwhile, had grown bored and wandered off in search of someone who might give them a hit of high fructose corn syrup. The mothers continued their argument into the night until they fell over and died of exhaustion. is the mother who played peekaboo with her toddler and read him good night, construction site. And played peekaboo and read good night, construction site again. And played peekaboo again, mama, again. And good night, construction site. Peekaboo, peekaboo, again, again. Good night, construction site. Peekaboo, 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 peekaboo. Good night, construction site. Peekaboo, good night, peekaboo, good night, good night, good night. Until, eventually, her brain turned to mush. And she had to be diapered and spoon-fed soft foods, and wheeled around, always with a vacant look in her eye.
Those who wish to know about motherhood must learn about it in the tedium. The world is made of hide and seek.
Dreams are concealed in the folds of our bellies.
It is natural for a mother to know her mind and to be insane.
Question: what is a mother? Answer: a mother is a portal. Question: and if the portal is open, what is that? Answer: 10 centimeters dilated, the separation of the pubic symphysis and the tailbone flexing to the point of bruising, dislocation, or even fracture.
The life of the mother comes with the death of herself. The first metamorphosis is puberty, in which the body becomes a foreign country. The second metamorphosis is the seismic birth, in which the body of the mother is severed from her continent. Third, perimenopause invokes a universal expansion in which the planetary bodies lose their relationship with gravity. Finally, all logic ceases.
When a mother arrived home from a long day at work to make dinner, her sons clung to her legs as she chopped, stirred, sautéed, and set the table. When it was time to eat, her sons argued over who would get to sit next to Mama. Eventually, all three of them climbed into her lap. Finally, she threw her dress above her head, spread her legs, and yelled, "Do you plan to crawl back inside?"
Everything flows. At every meal, spilled juice, a broken plate. Nothing remains. One cannot step into the same river again.
Question: what is a mother? Answer: the mother is the doormat on which others wipe their needs.
It is said that when one boy complained to his mother that he did not have the latest iPhone, as all his friends did, the mother refused to buy it for him. The boy threw himself down on the ground, screaming and beating his fists. The mother tried gentle parenting. She tried positive parenting and respectful parenting. Then she tried lighthouse parenting and helicopter parenting. She tried being a silky mom, a crunchy mom, a scrunchy mom. None of it worked. So she too threw herself down on the ground, screaming and beating her fists.
We have looked diligently at the framework in which we are caught.
Question. But is it worth it? Answer. Of course it is worth it. That is the only answer we are allowed to give.
One mother saw her son in the distance, panting and in tears, on his way home from school. She called out to the boy, "What has happened, my son?" The boy called back, crying. "The teacher called Kevin gifted, but not me." The mother picked up a stone and marched off to the school. When she found the teacher, she hurled the stone, and it struck the teacher on the head. Other mothers began casting stones, demanding that their children too should be labeled gifted, until the teacher relented and agreed that all the children were equally special. Before sending them off to battle, equipped with the flat blade of a smartphone and a TikTok account, the fickle gods gave the mothers one last piece of advice. Women, they said, either with this or on it.
We mothers know health by isolation, good by jealousy,
community by hunger,
and time by fatigue.
Question. But is it worth it? Answer. The price is very high.
Children
wash
in mud. Mothers wash in noise. The whining scrubs the insides of our ears. The slamming of doors shakes the dirt from between our toes.
Question. But is it worth it?
The sun dips into the west. People begin to repopulate the scene. Young couples walk hand in hand about the perimeter. Children scramble through the square chasing a soccer ball. Teenagers call to each other across the plaza. Men in ties and linen suits talk importantly to their cell phones. The women continue to deliver their orations, but the general hubbub rises over their voices. We hear one last message from the chorus before the swell of the room takes over.
The river we step into is not the river in which we stand. And yet, we are always drowning.
And to all of our actors tonight, Emma Grace, Mesa, Brea, Susan, Sid, and Rosemary. That was pretty incredible, and I think we're very lucky to have them here tonight. In closing, I would like, before I say my final remarks, I would just like to bring up the poets tonight. So Liz, Chris, Ying, Jennifer, and Vince as well, and just invite, if there are any questions. We'll just have a few moments to have a short Q&A if anybody has any questions. There's no pressure either if you would prefer to ask questions, but I want to be, you know, open the floor if anybody has any thoughts that are percolating after tonight's performances and poetry readings. You guys want to come up?
So I didn't figure out how we were going to do that until this evening when I was talking to Wanda before the performance. The poem on the page has a little line across the bottom that I think of as a news ticker, or someone else called it a banner. And for me, that was like the, it's like the pulse or the beat of the day that's going on. And so as the speaker is thinking about all these different feelings and episodes and emotions, I wanted that through line coming through the poem. But it was only at dinner time when a few of us were talking, and I said, is this going to be distracting? Is it going to be too weird? And then people, oh, hi, Phil. Oh, I think I would like to hear that. And so Wanda made it happen, which was great. But yeah,
it was just read with you. But yeah. It's a wonderful poem.
So I guess it wasn't distracting.
It was
No, it was really nice.
Great feedback. Thanks.
There's another question over there.
A similar question for Liz. Was it the noise of the children that pushed you towards the Greek chorus? Why did you choose the Greek chorus?
I stumbled across the three pieces that I was working with in that play poem in a collection, which I believe is called The Origin of the Essay by John DeGatta. So all three of those pieces were in there, and I started to kind of just play with making them not about Greece and whatever time frame they were set in, but about my life and the things that were going on around me. But I had these sort of three separate poems that weren't actually interacting at all, and then I somehow had to figure out how to make them into one piece, and I don't quite remember how it clicked. But somehow I got the idea, like, oh, this could be like a little kind of Greek scene with the people on their soapboxes and the orations, and the chorus kind of naturally appeared that way. But yes, I mean, to that end, my children were, at that point, I was trying to homeschool my older two children who were 4 and 6, and I also had a baby. It was probably the stupidest thing I've ever tried to do. It led me to writing that piece, yes. There was a real live chorus going on with that.
You live to tell.
More or less, yeah.
I have a tiny question, then my real one. Ying, when your thing comes out, can you send me an email?
I'd be delighted.
All right, thanks. So I'm wondering, since all of your writers are local or nearby, how were you all assembled for this tonight?
Yeah, I guess that's my question, my response. Well, yeah, a couple of us know each other really well. Like, I know Liz really well through our group of friends and through family friends, and also Liz is an incredible yoga teacher on top of being a writer and running a bakery and running a household of many children, and so I know her quite well, and she actually approached me about this, doing this event together, and at the same time Vince and I were talking about launching the press and making books together. And then at the same time, I was talking to Chris, who I know quite well as now as well through Driftline and through the poetry community. And Chris and I have also hiked together. And so we, that's how at that time this event and all and launching Chris's chapbook came to fruition and bringing Liz on board. And then I really wanted it to make it a really extra special event. And so Chris invited Jennifer, and they are friends in Ottawa. And you guys can speak to that as well. And I know Ying a little bit through the poetry community here in Kingston, and I really wanted to hear her read. And so I extended an invitation. Does anybody else want to? I mean, that, those are the interconnections of the group, I think. And then you have.
Yeah, my actors also came to me just through like us. I decided I was going to put on a play, and then I realized I don't actually know anybody. except for my friend Susan Wismer, who's a fellow poet, but it turns out she also is a multi-talented person. So I brought on Susan, and then I asked some people I knew who might know other people, and that's how I got this collection of helpers. All rather unplanned, I guess.
What are the future plans?
For Driftline?
Yeah, for this type of events. Do you have any future plans to do it again?
Do you want to talk about this one? Sorry.
We hope to publish more. Yeah, and I think it makes sense to have events where we introduce our publications to the community. So, stand by.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have want to publish more. There's always the practicalities around publishing and working in the arts that are difficult, and we have to sort those things out too. But you know, your support here tonight is really important, and to help us through that, also buying books really helps. And we appreciate it so much. If you spread the word and tell people about our books, and they'll soon also be on Vince's website for now until we can sort out our own website.
Yeah, we're working on our web presence. You can follow us on social media, look for Driftline, and then the books will be for sale at my online shop, and my press is called Everlovin' Press, which you can also follow, or you know, visit the website of.
Okay, well, thank you all so much. I have a few thank yous to say before we close and head out into the lobby there, and we can mingle and chat. But first and foremost, thank you to all these lovely people on stage, Jennifer, Ying, Chris, Vince, and all the wonderful actors that Liz brought along with her. I would like to thank the Grand Theatre. They have very helpful staff, and they helped us figure this out for tonight, which is definitely something different for, I feel like, for the poetry community here in Kingston. And they were very lovely and gracious. And I want to thank Liz and Vince again just for our collaboration over the past many months into making this special event happen. And I think to our families for giving us space and time to focus on this project. My husband Craig, who is up on the balcony doing the lights. There are many other, there are other family members, Liz's husband, Roland, over here supporting as well. And, you know, so we can't do this without our families to allow, give us room to do all these things and to leave our children for a little while to focus. Yeah, so I have, thank you again once to the actors. I'd like to thank you guys, Emma Grace, Mesa, Brea, Susan, Sid, and Rosemary. Thank you. And Vince, I think you'd like to thank Nicole Armour, your friend, who did the hand sewing of the bindings for the books.
Yeah. Talented bookbinder, Nicole Armour, who lives in Milford, makes her own books, and is a writer, essayist, who's worth looking into.
And many thanks to Bruce Kaufman for recording the show tonight and for all his presentations of poets and their work on his radio show on CFRC, Finding a Voice. I'm really grateful to all of you who have come from Kingston and from farther afield, and to my great friend and poet Phil Hall for making the trip with Anne. I'm very happy that you're here. And thank you all for being here and for your support, and stay tuned for what's next. So, thank you. Have a good night.
And you just heard from the second portion of an event that evening. In that Driftline series, now called, I believe, a reading and press series. And you heard in it a performance of a play poem called A Mother is a Portal that was written by Liz Huntley-Jentz, and performed on stage by a number of actors that evening, who did, like she said, sort of stand on places. It seemed like an almost Greek play. So it was nice for her explanation, too, at the end to kind of point that out. So anyway, it is getting very close to 37 minutes. After 5 o'clock, I do have a couple of songs I'm going to play. I have some more information to share, maybe some more calls for submissions, but first I want to also mention a couple of upcoming events. I think all of them are just after the first of the year, so it's time to talk about those as well. Anyway, I'm going to do that, but first I do need to do this, so let me do this, and I'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Tune in to Word Labs Out Loud, your weekly writing spark on CFRC 101.9. Join your host, Arrow McCauley, for a free-flow show where words, ideas, and music mingle. Each week, we sit down with one of the local authors and artists leading writing workshops through the Word Labs program. They'll share their stories, their insights, maybe even a few secrets of their craft. Get your pens ready. After the chat, you'll get writing prompts to stretch your imagination, all set to a soundscape designed to help you focus, relax, and create.
Hello, this is Ellie Sturton, this year's Arts News Coordinator and co-producer of CFRC Live Sessions and Release Radar Reels on Instagram. CFRC is thrilled to amplify local artists and musicians on our airwaves and social media, and to provide opportunities for them to get the word out about upcoming local concerts and events. Local really does live here at CFRC. Help us keep the magic going by making a donation to the station today via CFRC.ca. And thank you for your support.
There we go. I hit the wrong button. So you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Bruce, and it is 39 minutes after 5 o'clock. As I mentioned, I'm going to play a couple of songs this afternoon, but before I get into that, first thing I want to do is start to do some of the things I might start doing in a close, slow close to the show. So first of all, my heartfelt thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to the this second hour and a bit, and in addition to maybe the first hour as well. But in this second hour, I also want to thank Liz Huntley-Gents and all of those actors who performed in the second half. And then you also heard questions and answers directed to Wanda, Vince, and Jennifer, and Chris, and Ying. And so I want to thank all of them for, it was just a beautiful evening and event that night. So I'm looking forward to when the next one airs. And also thank the Baby Grand. So that was, I haven't been to a poetry reading event there for quite a long time, so that was wonderful. And I mentioned I am going to now, I have a few more announcements about upcoming events and calls, but I think what I'm going to do is play a song first, and then I'll take the next song will be the second song I'm going to play will be at the end of the show to just kind of get me out of here and let Rob come in and get set up for his show. And so I did select two songs off of same CD. I've had this CD for a long time, and I really do love it, and for some reason it just keeps, I keep hearing songs from it pop up over the course of the last week or two. And so I'm going to play two songs off of the Cranberries, their first album. Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We, is what it was called. First song. And I think both of the songs were fairly popular, so you might recognize them. But the first one probably for sure. And it's called Linger. So here we go. Just heard off of their 1993 and debut album, I believe that was their debut album, called Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We? And of course, the very, very well-known song, I believe, for most people, called Linger. It is almost 47 minutes after 5 o'clock. And just to start again to continue with a slow close to the show, I'm going to talk about some events and maybe calls for submissions if I have time, some more of those. But I want to kind of start to do some of the things that I want to say to close the show, and is let you know that you, first of all, again, to thank you for tuning in, and you have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well, www.cfrc.ca. Just a quick reminder, too, that I upload both hours of my show each week to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. So usually get that done. It's usually about 7 o'clock by the time I get home and have a chance to upload that. So that's kind of when you can expect to see something there. And I did a few calls for submissions at the start, the first couple of minutes into the second hour, I think it bled over into that. So what I'm going to share are some upcoming events that are coming up relatively quickly. The first one is actually in Hamilton. Lit Live, it's the Lit Live Reading Series. It's a monthly series. Happens the first Sunday of the month from September through June. And it runs at the Staircase Cafe and Theater. And doors pay what you can. They do suggest $5 to $10. But you can find details. I think the best place to do that might be on Facebook. They might have an Instagram page as well. I'm not sure, but you could look. And I'm not sure about a website, though. But anyway, where I found out about them, Facebook, just look for Lit Live Reading Series, and you should have all the information there. It's at the Staircase Cafe and Theater, 27 Dundurn Street North in Hamilton. And it's coming up Sunday, January 4th, so just a week from Sunday at 7 p.m. Then there's a first Tuesday night of the month, a reading series in Madoc called First Tuesday Muse. They with host TJ Best. Again, the best thing I have for them is a Facebook page. Again, I don't know if they have an Instagram page. I don't think they have a website, but they do a really good job keeping everything they keep all of their information up to date very well on their Facebook page, so I suggest going to that. So again, it's just First Tuesday Muse, and it's held at Finn's Pub and Patio, which is at 231 Dunham Street. So Dunham Street South in Madoc. Happens Tuesday, January 6th, 7 to 9 p.m. Again, it is a First Tuesday of the month series. Then coming up on Thursday, January 8th at 7 p.m. I think I told you First Tuesday Muse is 7 p.m. on January 5th. So Tuesday, January 5th, or 6th, I'm sorry, 7 to 9 p.m. Then we've got a book launch coming up here in Kingston on Thursday, January 8th at 7 p.m. Harlequin Crow will be, if you've listened to this show quite a bit, you've heard him often on when I air the open mic here. But he's going to be launching his first book, Queer Holla. He's AKA Corey Toke, will be launching his debut collection of poetry again called Queer Holla at Novel Idea on January 8th beginning at 7 p.m. And then coming up as well, I'm going to mention it because it is Kingston, the Kingston's first Tuesday night of the month open mic series. At the Elm will not be happening on the 6th, so it won't be happening on the 1st because they close for a couple of weeks in late December and the first week of January to do upkeep, deep cleaning, anything they need to do. It's just kind of, they close for a couple of weeks to take care of business that way and get everything back up to speed for the next year. So And the Journey Continues open mic monthly series that will be held on the second Tuesday night of the month, so January 13th from 7 to 9 p.m., 9:15 p.m. Doors do open at 6:30. I would suggest getting there early. It does fill up. It's a series that began in 2009 has been run continuously as almost an always first Tuesday night of the month reading series. There are exceptions, and this is one of those. So it's coming up January 13th instead of January 6th. Again, 7 to 9:15. Doors again do open at 6:30. Trying to see if I've got a chance to mention one more thing before I will do that. Modern Fuel does have a call out. This is for I'm just going to read from their site. It's Siphon, and what they're looking for, poetry, essays, creative writing, more. So they're looking for something for their magazine, their Lit Mag. From their website, Modern Fuels, they say Siphon is the name of it's what the magazine is called. Seeks work for our upcoming issue called Resistance. So that's also a themed annual happening. And so they also say regarding resistance, a force that moves through communities, voices, and creative practices in response to the violence, oppression, and injustice shaping our world today. Go to their website, www.modernfuel.org/siphon. And that is, they have a deadline of January 15th, so there's still a fair amount of time. I would like to mention as well that I hope you can stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. That's coming up right after I play another song here by the Cranberries. And so 2 hours of East Coast music with Rob Carnell coming up right after that. Great show. And I hope you can tune in again here next week. And again, if you didn't hear the album that it came off of, the first cut I played off of this, it is, again, their Cranberries and their debut album called Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We? The second song I'm going to play off of it is called Dreams. And again, have a great week out there. Have a happy new year, and I'll hopefully catch you here next week. Here's the Cranberries.